because I was new in town, and I heard Adam's voice, and I was like, I got to find a way to play with this guy. And so I was lucky enough that their guitarist was leaving Spain and returning to the UK, and I got a shot.
That's Dorian Foyle from the new band Aliens Don't Ring Doorbells. I'm Jamie Green, and this is Trading Fours. Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of Trading Fours. Today I've got a new band, Aliens Don't Ring Doorbells. They're great. You're listening to their new tracks or a new album called Arrival. And what a fun band. What a fun album. I've been listening to it in my ears while jogging the last couple weeks. And I had the chance to talk to their guitarist, Dorian Foyle, who's an American, about this project. And back in the summer of 2019, they went in the studio, worked on this album, and this is the result. It's a great album, bunch of catchy tunes, and it was so much fun. Dorian called me on the phone, and I'm still learning how to make that sound good, but hopefully the audio's, I think it's pretty good. He was a total joy, and the man actually did homework on me. He listened to some of my podcasts, so that was awfully nice of him. He didn't have to do that. So I think you're really going to dig this one. It's always fun to hear new bands and new music and get an idea of what they're up to. And these guys are great. So let's get started. Here's Dorian Foyle with Aliens Don't Ring Doorbells. Well, I was saying before we got interrupted with technology, I was saying that I really appreciate the time, and I'm here in Kansas City, and I really enjoyed the new album. So, you know, I looked at your bio, and it looks like you had a very peripatetic childhood and upbringing, and I saw, you know, I'm here in Kansas City. At one point, you were over in a suburb of St. Louis. So let's start with a little background, if that's okay. Tell me a little bit about your upbringing and how you arrived as a musician in your life.
Oh, great. Well, first, thanks for the invitation to speak to your audience, Trading Fours, James. I'm a big jazz buff, and Trading Fours is one of those great pleasures that Jazz Guys gets to do from time to time. So I like the name of your show right off the bat.
Well, Kansas City, it made perfect sense. You know, it's such a big jazz town.
Well, I think, wasn't Wes Montgomery from around there?
Wes was from Indianapolis, but a saxophone player named Charlie Parker was from Kansas City. You may have heard of him.
I may have heard of him. Yes, I've tried to pick off a few of his tunes, but they're tough. But yeah, no, it's a great town for music, and I spent some of my early years in a town called Creve Coeur, which is in Missouri.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I was actually born in California, and then my family moved quite a bit. My father was an ambitious executive, and he's now retired. But we lived in Florida, and then he had an opportunity to run a glass plant in. He was in the glass business in Mexico, and so I spent 3 years when I was 8, 9, 10 in Mexico, going to school in Mexico, and then we moved to Missouri, and it was there when I was about 11 that I started to play a little bit of acoustic guitar, and once my brother joined me on drums, we had a little band going, and then we moved to a town called Scotch Plains in New Jersey, and that's when I first had my first taste of a lot of rock and roll. It was around the time, it was a few years after Woodstock, but a lot of my buddies, their brothers had their older brothers had a band, and they would do all the songs off the Rolling Stones Sticky Fingers album. Oh yeah, it was great. A lot of great guitar playing by Keith Richard on that album.
Yeah.
And So I started to get into that, and I was very heavily, early when I was a teenager, into a Black Sabbath and the like of that. And then we moved to South Jersey, a little town called Millville, New Jersey, believe it or not, known for everybody wearing white socks for some reason. But we were a little bit of a hick town, but we loved it. And But there I just hung around with a lot of musicians and always had a band. All through high school, and then when I went to college, I continued to play in bands all through college, and then I went to grad school, and things got a lot tougher.
Right.
And then I entered the financial industry, and I was an investment banker for a part of my career, and that took some time away from the music. I was still jamming, but not playing. And then I came back into music more heavily, and my family and I, we decided to, my wife's from Ukraine, and so we decided to move to Spain, and we lived there, and it was a lot closer to her family.
Right.
But there I joined a band, and that's where I met Christian Pearl and Adam King.
Right.
And we played cover songs in a lot of the resorts there on the Costa Blanca of Spain. And when I first heard Adam sing, I just stopped in to listen to bands because I was new in town. And I heard Adam's voice, and I was like, I got to find a way to play with this guy.
Right.
And so I was lucky enough that their guitarist was leaving Spain and returning to the UK. And I got a shot, so... you know, an American guy playing in a totally European band. So it was a lot of fun, and we had a great time. And I proposed that we try to do some originals and record them. And but it just we're a little bit older, so everybody's got things. Everybody's busy, as one is when they have families and kids and things.
Yep.
And so, you know, to do this sort of a project, it really requires a focus and a strong focus. And so what we did was we were living in Spain, but I also had a place there in the Bahamas. I was a long time in the Bahamas working when I was in an investment banker. But anyway, we went to the Bahamas, and we stayed there for 3 weeks. We had what we called a creative session. And we had two of those, and the result of those two creative sets, we would like, we lived together in my condo there, and the three of us, Adam, Christian, and myself. And then in the afternoons, two of my buddies who are studio musicians there in the Bahamas, a guy named Kevin Dean on drums and Earl Forbes on bass, would join us in the afternoon, and we would work through all our all these tunes we were messing around with. And then we had an opportunity in May of last year, May of 2019, to go into a very special recording studio called Sanctuary Studios in the Bahamas. And this studio is a pretty serious studio. It's owned by Alicia Keys and Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
And Hitco, that L.A. Reid gentleman.
Yeah.
And it's a great facility. Oh, yeah. And they gave us, you know, a shot. We had to slot in between all their big hip-hop artists that they bring down to the Bahamas.
Right.
So we came in there, and we booked it for, I think it was for, it was 2 days, and it was all day. So we were locked in the studio for two full days, playing from like, I don't know, from 10 in the morning to midnight. And we laid down these 12 demos. And the idea of doing that, James, was to make the demos as good as possible so that we could pitch to a serious producer who will take on our project and make something of it.
Right.
And so at the end of 2019, we found that producer, and his name is Jeff Cannon. He was a young kid in studio engineer at Westlake Studios when the Thriller album came out. He was a runner there or something, but he was around, and he took. But he's since worked with the likes of Kelly Clarkson and No Doubt and quite a few other Sting and a number of other major artists. He was our guy, and we spent a month with Jeff in Denver, Colorado, laying down these tracks. And we also brought in two other producers. One guy's named Dan Kanupka, mm-hmm. and he's the drummer in a band called OK Go, which are quite well known. And he did a great job on a song called Slipping Away, which comes out actually. It's released this afternoon on Spotify and on YouTube, but it's a song called Slipping Away. And we also brought in another producer named Matthew Treba. And he worked for, I think, 4 years for Ryan Keeter in One Republic at their studio, which apparently is in Colorado somewhere.
Okay.
And so he had a lot. Yeah, he was great. He did Consummation with us. So so that's what happened. And here we are today after we finished recording it in December. And the way the music industry is now, it's so fragmented and so decoupled from the music labels that all these great talents, and I'm talking about producers and engineers and mastering engineers and mixing engineers, are no longer tied to a single label, and they are available you still have to pitch them and they have to accept the work, but it's possible. So that's very exciting. And right now, in this current environment that the world is in and we face too, we decided to pursue our efforts to promote and market and release the album, which actually the album comes out next week on the 16th of October. So we're real excited about that. But we decided to push ahead with the project because, believe it or not, with what's going on in the world, a lot of bands pulled back.
Yeah.
A lot of labels pulled back.
Yep.
Didn't release or not
which
released.
Doesn't make sense to me, Dorian. I don't know about you. I would think right now people are stuck in their home that they're hungry for new music. I imagine that's probably what you guys thought too.
That's part of it. That's certainly part of it, James. That's part of it, that there'll be a demand. But the second thing is that, I was talking about all the talent that's available, and that includes promoters and radio pluggers and all this stuff. They're not busy, so we could pretty much swing for the fences with our PR agency in the UK and the United States and catch a few.
Yep.
That's what we did. So we kind of used it as an opportunity, and it looks like it's working, and people are hearing us, and we're approaching 20,000 listeners a month out of from a zero start. We started on July 17th of this year, and it's growing in a satisfactory way. I would say.
Oh, that's great. Your publicist very kindly sent me a link, a private link to Spotify to listen to the entire album. I really like, one of the things that I liked about it was, sometimes you can kind of pigeonhole a band and say, oh, they kind of remind me of such and such or so, somebody kind of stuff. But you guys, obviously I can hear some influence in this stuff, but it really is a really great original sound. I really dug it. Really love the harmonies and the production value and the whole thing. And it's just been a joy to listen to. I do this when I jog before I interview people. So you've been in my earbuds as I very slowly jog through my neighborhood, because I'm not a young man myself anymore either. So I really enjoy it, and I'm glad we had a chance to talk. And I guess probably one of the things I'd love to ask you a little bit about it. It's so interesting when you talked about your producer Jeff. Was it Cannon, right?
Sure.
And part of the quote that you had up on your website about that, just keep writing and your style will evolve. And it seems like that's true for you guys, right? It seems like you really were able to use this time very well and really develop your own craft and a really distinct style.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. And what Jeff told us later, because we already had the demos when we got in touch with Jeff Cannon. He told me that quite a few bands actually set out to target sounds, like target other band sounds that people find that are popular at at this time. And that seems like a waste of money to me to create music that sounds like somebody else. When he told me that, I was like, wow, I guess that does happen. But we're not going to do that. What happened was the music just came out like it came out. And there's a lot of influences in there. And one of the things that your listeners should know is that there are three writers in the band. All three of us write the songs. We write them all together, but the ideas are individually brought to the band as, small pieces or what have you. So that's kind of what you're hearing. You're hearing the personalities of three different guys. So I find it more interesting to listen to because different things. Of course, I'm a guitar player, so I'm trying to, throw in all these guitar parts.
Right.
But I have a great keyboardist. I say he has me and I have him. We all have each other, but he's a wonderful guy person, and he's a terrific keyboard player. And when you hear us live, you'll see what I mean, because Christian and I are back and forth with each other, and I like that tension and how it builds. And so I like playing with great musicians.
Absolutely.
Great vocalists.
It makes you better. You elevate your own game, right?
Yes. Totally.
So tell me a little bit about,
how it works for us.
Right. So I'm curious, because I'm a guitar player, Dorian, and so I'm always curious, like, who you listen to and who inspired you and who frustrated you obviously we talked a little bit about Keith Richards, but who are some of the other folks that growing up that inspired you to pick up the guitar and learn how to do what they were doing?
The first guy I liked was Tony Iommi in Black Sabbath on that first, second album. That was, to me, that was a great sound, and I could actually, at 14, I could figure it out.
Right.
But then I got into, I was very, very heavily into, I had my David Bowie period with the Ziggy Stardust, but in terms of guitar players, I latched on to Al Di Meola and Return to Forever, and...
Yeah.
He was a great guy. And I saw that band like three or four times with the original band when they were doing the original, the first and second albums. And they were just terrific. So I just tried to be the fastest guitar player, in my town. And I used to practice. I'd practice like 4 hours. My dad and my mom would come down to dinner, Dorian, and I'd still be playing. And so I don't think I have that much talent, but I just practice my tail off.
Yeah.
And that works too.
Yeah. I saw him. He was actually here a couple of years ago doing an acoustic show. And, when you see Al play, it's like half of you is just super inspired. And the other half of you is like, I should just quit. There's no way I can do it. Right?
Yeah. I totally get that. For example, I was into, heavily into John McLaughlin.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't understand what he was doing, and but he does. And then later on, I got into Pat Metheny a lot, and he's also terrific. He's a wonderful, wonderful American musician.
Another Kansas City.
It's great that he's a part of the music scene today.
Yeah.
Other guys I really enjoyed is he doesn't get the credit he deserves, but I think. Grant Green is a great guitar player, and I like his early work, and he's kind of an unsung hero, but there's a jazz guitar player that I can play, and so some of that stuff is coming in through our music, and I think quite a bit more will come in this next album.
Yeah.
I would just make one small point, if I may, James, is that I listen to music like today because obviously we're in competition with everybody. We got to compete with Drake and Maroon 5 and all these other people, and they're all great. But what I don't hear is enough harmony. I like harmony. I don't like five chords, like just the one and the fifth. I like to hear the third. I like to hear the sixth. I like to hear the seventh, the 13th.
Yep.
I like to hear the upper extensions and chords and things, and in vocal harmonies. So, but want to do it in a sort of a pop rock vein. And you know, you hear that in a bit in that album. You know, like a song like "Missing Pieces" is a series of jazz chords. There's other little things I've taken from different people, and Christian has, and so has Adam. So I would say that's one thing that, you know, that our audience, our fans, and maybe our new fans coming from Trading Fours will hear, is that a harmony is something that, you know, I think people can take now. They can take those upper extensions and be interested with more involved stuff. You know, Steely Dan was a hero in this area.
Oh yeah. You know, it's interesting you say that because I had Roger Manning on. That you probably remember. Roger was the founding member with the Andy Sturmer and Jellyfish, and he's got a new, they're doing Licorice Quartet now, and it's the same kind of thing. You miss that the ability to put those harmonies together so well, and the beauty that comes with that, and the dissonance that you can create with that. And I definitely noticed that while I was listening to this album. It's something that's a credit to you and your bandmates to do that, and I think it's probably something that people wouldn't put a finger on it if they're not really into the music world, but it's something that's pleasing, very pleasing to the ear. And you're right, there's too much in popular music of just the root and the fifth, or maybe if you're lucky, some seventh chords, right? Right. Yeah. So that's great. And, you know, and real quick too, I'm so happy to hear you talk about Pat Metheny, because he's another Kansas Cityan, and everybody in Kansas City obviously is a... Yeah, he was born and raised in Lee's Summit, and actually I know people that know Pat, and I'm still, you know, very much begging to have Pat on at some point. And that'd be great. And then, you know, Grant Green was a St. Louis guy, and I you're so right about that. It was so accessible, right? I think Grant's one of those jazz players that it's really accessible, that you can really dig into it and really enjoy it. So
yeah, especially his early albums, and you know, Pat Metheny, he's doing just terrific stuff, and still does. But his earliest stuff with Gary Burton, was pretty awesome, and you know, his tone and everything. So there's a lot to learn from, you know, the great players of the Midwest, and you know, like you were just talking about.
Absolutely.
And I also checked out a few of the Trading Fours, and you do have some great guitar players on there. You had Andy Albert.
Oh my God, yeah.
What a great interview that was. So,
well, thank you for listening. Yeah, that means a lot that you took the time. Well, you know, as a guitar player, I try not to make it all guitar players. I try to be interested, you know, in other, and I certainly am, but it's hard for me not, you know, if Andy Allidort says he's going to be on my podcast, or Ian Moore, I'm going to say yes. And actually, I've got Neil Giraldo on next week, and, you know.
Oh, right.
Yeah, who could say no to that? I mean, you've got to.
I'll tune in.
Oh, absolutely.
Enjoyed it. I like talking guitars and gear and things.
Absolutely.
Like that.
So I'm real interested. So you kind of touched on this earlier. So you're working with two English guys, and you got a Liverpudlian, right? And where's the other guy from? Was it Birmingham? I'm trying to remember. I read
Birmingham. Yes, he's from Birmingham, and so Liverpool and Birmingham, and they're great. They're great gentlemen, really professional, and they really add a whole different color, because, you know, I'm an American guy, and I'm writing, you know, stuff that you and I grew up with, and I have that sort of feel. It's, you know, it's American type, you know, rock and stuff, and then to add that English flavor to it, it does make it sound quite interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's and off the top of my head, you know, you got Jimi Hendrix did that, right, with the Experience, and then you also got the Police, where it was one American with two Brits.
Yeah.
That's
exactly. You know, in the United States, like, well, you know, I'll pitch this as an American guy with two British guys in the band. You know, an American band with a couple of British guys in. In the UK, we're like a British band with you know, an American guy in. So it's interesting how it works. But the bottom line is that. That wasn't, by the way, that was not intentional. It's just a happenstance. You know, it was the consequence of me finding these two great musicians.
Right.
And that's how it worked out. But it create a lot of interest for our fans. You know, that the different sounds and stuff, the influence.
Absolutely. And I did see that. I think it's either because I always try to do a little bit of research. I don't try to stalk people too much, but I want to, you know, a little bit knowledgeable about your background. And there was a interview, I think, where you guys were recording your album in Denver, where I don't remember which member of the band, I think it was your bass player, was actually from the Bahamas, and was, this is when the hurricane, which was very unfortunate for you, was named Dorian, had hit, and he was worried about his family, correct? So you've got some people from the Caribbean too, at least on the album.
Yes, no, two of the guys are from the Bahamas, born and raised in the Bahamas. And these are, I should explain a little bit about the structure of Aliens Don't Ring Doorbells. It is the three of us, Adam, Christian, and myself, as the key writers. And then we have, the idea is to have a top-notch rhythm section. And for that, the first album we used my buddies from the Bahamas, who are studio musicians. But our idea, James, is to vary the rhythm section, maybe by album a little bit, so that we can get even a little bit more. You know, I would love to go to, I would love to play with some, you know, Brazilian musicians. I would love to play with some, you know, some other Latin musicians, either from, you know, Puerto Rico or from Mexico or what have you. Or in if we get popular over in Asia or something, in Japan. And kind of mix it up that way to get some new, you know, new ideas and feel. But yeah, for this album, we used, you know, Kevin and Earl from the Bahamas, and you know, they're very tasty musicians. They've been around a while, and if you listen to the album, some, you know, a number of these songs, you will hear some very tasty little things done on the drums or bass, and it really helps. And we want to continue that by just working with the best musicians we can.
Absolutely.
So obviously, folks that are becoming first aware of you and your band, what's the best way to follow you? Is it your Facebook page? Is it Twitter? Is it Instagram? If people want to keep a beat on what you're doing, and I'll put all those links in the show notes so they can find you. But tell me, what's the best way for people to keep a track of you?
Right. Thanks, James. The best way to keep a track these days, the music industry environment is that you have to be everywhere at all times. So we're on Instagram. I think Instagram is AliensDRD, and then YouTube, it's just YouTube/AliensDon'tRingDoorbells. It's just one word. And but we're on all those platforms, on Spotify, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We don't do anything on TikTok, but I guess that's just a matter of time. Adam is our guy on that. He's a graphic designer by trade, so he's quite good at maintaining all that social, all those social platforms. And we like it because we start to hear from people that are not family and friends,
right?
But people from, well, it could be from Kansas or Kansas City or Brazil or, you know, the UK or something. And, you know, we like interacting with those people. But you can find us on, but like, for example, if you go today, we're premiering at, I think, 12 o'clock today. Well, it just premiered our new song called Slipping Away.
That's a great track.
And so we put that right up on YouTube and Spotify, what have you. We're pretty much, if you just enter @Aliens Don't Ring Doorbells in Google, what have you, you'll see us.
So real quick, I got a quick question for you and then a follow-up. So what do you, I mean, I hope at some point the world gets to open up again. So what's your plan? What's your guys' plan for 2021? You want to go out on the road and play all over? Do you want to, you know, what are you guys thinking?
Tell you how it is, because I'm like right in the middle of it. You're like, we're right in the industry. What is happening is bands now, I'm talking about big acts, not guys like us yet, but pretty significant acts, they're all planning starting from April next year.
Right.
Okay, so it's not even what I hope or anything. That's what is happening. So now that could get delayed a bit. And we're going to be in the studio recording our second album in April, so we're hoping to be on the road starting from May 2021.
Okay.
2021. Yep. And you know, we have this album coming out, and we have like good promoters and things of that nature. So we are in talk with some pretty major acts about being an opening act for them.
Oh, great.
And we don't have anything to announce today, but I can tell you that we have a pretty definitive plan to start playing live starting from May 2021. So there is light, folks, coming. And we want to play, and we want to see you.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody I've talked to, it's almost like, you know, not literally, but figuratively, almost like losing an arm. If you're a working musician who's done this for a long time, most of the times decades, and you're not playing out live, it's almost like a part of you is missing. I mean, it's a real huge component, and obviously there's a monetary part of that too, but I think people just miss it for that interaction, that instant gratification of having fans enjoy your work and meeting new people and that sort of thing, right?
Absolutely. You know, this is so true. You know, we're not making any money, you know, playing live, and you know, all our guys depend on it. But we're very hopeful, and we're not going to delay it because we can't get out playing it right today. We do believe that, we don't even believe, we know that we're going to be doing this live in 2021. And, you know, the money will come if we earn it. That is, if our music's, you know, good enough. People have all the choice they want in the world today, you know, not just from goods and services, but from music. And, you know, you just can't play good. You got to play great. And write great songs, because it's a tough market out there, and you know, we want to succeed, and so we're not putting any of our plans on hold or anything like that. We're pushing, you know, because when people are going to be able to see a live show, they're going to want to see a live show, you know, right away, like as soon as it's possible. They're going to want to go that Friday night or Saturday, buy a ticket,
yep,
and you know, have a great time. And we want to be that band they come out and see, whether it's in, you know, in the Midwest or West Coast or East Coast or, you know, some other country.
Absolutely. Again, thanks so much for joining us. Again, this is Dorian Foyle. Did I get it right? The band is Aliens Don't Ring Doorbells, and you know, if you want to know why they named the band that, that's on their website. Be sure to check it out. It's a fun, a cute little story. As a father with two sons myself, I enjoyed that highly. The new album is called Arrival. It's coming out this month. And Dorian, it's been a pleasure. I always love talking to musicians. That's why I do this. I'm not making money off of it. It's because I enjoy talking to musicians and their craft. Really enjoyed the album. Like I said, been listening to it on jogs all this week, and I look forward to 2021. And if you get anywhere close to Kansas City, let me know. Would love to come out and see you guys and say hello.
Can we come on your porch like that other band?
Yeah, man. Wasn't that fun?
Yeah, it was fun. Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah, come out. You know, Kansas City, we've got great music, great food. The only thing that we don't have, but, you know, living in the Bahamas and Costa region of Spain, the weather isn't all that hot. So I can't give you good weather, but I can promise you the rest of the stuff will be awesome.
We'll come. And thank you for the invite, James. And it's great to be on Trading Fours. And I wish you all the success in the world, and I think you got a great job.
Oh, thanks so much, man. Have a great weekend. It's been a total joy talking to you.
My pleasure, sir. Have a great weekend.
All right. Bye-bye. Dorian Foyle, everybody. Super nice guy. It was so much fun to talk. And, you know, technology is, it's the bane of our existence. It's also just our existence in 2020. So fumbled through that a little bit with the phone interview, but I got the sound a little better as we went on. And I certainly appreciate him and all the great stories and background. And dude, if you're listening, yeah, you can play on my porch. I would love it. I love, I mean, there's nothing that makes me happier in life than hanging out with fellow musicians, having a beer and playing tunes and listening to tunes. And that makes me real happy. So anytime, that's an open invitation. So thanks again, Dorian. And
folks, be sure to check them out. You know, it's great to always hear. I know everybody has their favorite bands and stuff over time, but, you know, you need to always branch out and listen to new folks, too. So make a point of it. Down in the show notes, I've got links to their website and the Spotify and all that. Check them out, because I think you're really going to dig it, because I certainly did. So that's it for today's Trading Fours. Next time, I'm going to do something completely different. And, you know, I thought long and hard about how I wanted to approach this. And I thought, finally, man, I just need to do something. So, as you're all aware, the great Eddie Van Halen passed away last week. And I decided we need to honor his memory a little bit. And the best way that I could come up with doing that would be to invite back on Greg Renoff, the author who has written two definitive books. One about Van Halen specifically in the early days, and the other one, of course, is the where he wrote the autobiography of Ted Templeman with Ted. And the other is the great Andy Allendorf, who actually spent a day with Eddie Van Halen when Eddie was being interviewed by Guitar World back in the mid-90s. Both of them are going to join me. We're going to talk about Eddie's legacy. We're going to talk about great Eddie stories. We're going to talk about all of that. So that'll be on soon. I don't have an exact date, and I might even do it live, so we'll see. So, until then, go out and support live music, either virtually or in person, and I'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.